There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1150. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me for this episode, there's no Paris, of course, Pete Rock. Pete, what's going on, man?
What's up, everybody? How you doing? Good morning, Rihanna.
Good morning.
All right. Ree, so how's everything? I know the last time you were on, we talked about, for like a whole hour, Apex Legends.
Yeah. You know, I easily have another hour in me, but I'll try to keep it brief and only the critical information. Yeah. But it's been going pretty well. Not playing as much Apex as I would like, but hopefully we can get some games in today. I have my Apex onesie on representing.
Yeah, I actually have a Apex hoodie that EA sent me to celebrate the release of Season 10. This is coming out very, very soon. We're going to be talking about all that stuff. I can't wait. I have questions. I have a lot of questions, mm-hmm. So... get ready for that. And also, Pete, a couple of days ago, man, we officially got the word about the remake of Dead Space. How excited are you about that, man? We're going to be talking about that, too.
Yeah, well, you know my excitement knows no bounds when we're talking about Dead Space, we're talking about Necromorphs, and we're talking about plasma cutters and markers. So I'm obviously ecstatic and stoked, and can't wait to get into the conversation on that later on in the show.
Definitely, definitely. All right, everyone. And also, I have a review coming up, which you only can hear it on the podcast. And it's about Microsoft Flight Simulator, the Xbox Series X and S version that's coming out this Tuesday. So if you want to listen to the full review, it's going to be available on the podcast tomorrow. So check it out. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, and also post a review. It will help us out a lot. If you have any questions or feedback for the crew, here's how you contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete, so let's talk about Dead Space, man. I know this was announced officially during EA Play. Shout out to WWE superstar Xavier Woods. He was the one hosting the whole event. I think he did an amazing job. I talked about that during the last episode of GTR. Mm-hmm. But, Pete, this is official, man. I know we had theories. Is it going to be a remake? Is it going to be a new game? It's actually a remake, man, of the game, of Dead Space. This game has a long history with us. Because we covered this back in the days. You actually went to the community event. I know we talked about that here on mm-hmm. GTR. But also, this is going to be all for next-gen console. And they also announced that they're also going to be a content that was cut from the original game. So what are your thoughts about everything that was announced?
So what we know currently is EA Motive, as has been rumored, probably the worst kept secret in the last few months. EA Motive is working on a complete remake of Dead Space. And when we hear remake, usually you think, okay, then they're just going to port it. They're just going to maybe up-res some of the resolution of the, you know, some polygons and some pixels and just make it look newer and refresh it for 2021 or wherever, whenever it comes out. But unlike most games that get this kind of treatment, they're actually taking the game, they're taking all the original assets that shipped on the game, but they're also working on developmental data from when they first started creating the game, right? So they're taking original data and assets from the games and rebuilding it brick by brick, polygon by polygon, and creating the game basically from scratch using the EA Frostbite engine. You know, the devs had were talking in the article about how they saw iterations of certain areas and how they had to block things off due to either technical constraints or other issues that came up during game development. So seeing that they're going to take today's technology and not just port the game and throw it up as a remaster, they're essentially taking their time and rebuilding it from scratch using Dead Space 1 as official canon for what they're doing. And then they're going to try and maybe implement things from Dead Space 2 and 3 and some of the animated stuff that they had put out as like little Easter eggs and things in there. But it seems like they're approaching this in a way that's not very common. And I like it, right? I wish we would see things like this more often from other developers. I know EA usually gets, you know, EA usually gets the bad, you know, the bad rap for a lot of things in the gaming industry. So it's refreshing to see that, you know, one of the big studios, right, is actually taking their time and doing this right. It gives me more excitement, right, and joy watching that little teaser trailer where you're seeing Isaac bent over the workstation and you just see his health bar increase in the back knowing that he's getting ready. And you could see him just huffing because he just got through that stressful level. It's fantastic. As soon as I saw that, like I squealed like a little stuck pig, and it was fantastic. It's so good.
Yeah. Have you ever played Dead Space or no?
No, I don't do the scary games, so that's definitely not on my to playlist. But I'll watch you play.
That's true. Yeah, I love scary games. That's my thing. Yeah, I gotta give you props. You actually watch Fear Street with me, and I know you're not a huge fan of horror movies at all.
Not at all. Yeah. It was very frightening. I had a couple nightmares, but it was a good story.
Yeah,
so.
definitely. Pete, so yeah. Do you think there's going to be a major change though compared to the original game, or do you think it's just going to be just it looks better because of the graphics, or is it going to play differently completely?
I don't know. Right. So originally, obviously, it was developed using either, and I don't recall from my notes from back then, but I don't recall if they were porting it or if they developed it on the Xbox or if they developed it on PlayStation. So I don't recall that, and I didn't see it in any of the articles going over that. But they're developing this using today's technology, so they're going to be using. You know, obviously the performance of current SSDs where they're expecting or anticipating no load screens throughout the game, obviously taking advantage of 3D sound at most, you know, potentially I'm assuming in that regards. And they said that it's going to be very important to the experience of the game, which if you've played Dead Space, you know, you, as soon as you get those little violin jabs, you know, something crazy is about to happen. So it's I love the fact that they're not just, again, remastering the title. They're taking it and they're going to redesign it from the ground up and say, okay, you know, Dead Space 1 was canon. You know, that first scene where you're walking through, you know, where you're walking through the ship, you know, that's they're going to try to recreate it from the ground up so that they're not just, you know, taking what could potentially be just either old data, old polygons, or old development data, but they're actually building it from scratch as if they were creating a brand new game in 2021. We don't have a time frame, so we don't know how long it's going to take for them to make the game. Hopefully, yeah. You know, they can bang it out soon. But as a fan, I just want it as soon as possible, but I want them to take their time, right? So if they take a year or two, I'm okay with that, right? The good thing is they already have a foundation from which to work on. Whereas in most brand new AAA titles or any you know, whether AAA, AA or whatever, they're doing it from scratch. So they don't know how things will interact. Whereas here, they already have a framework in place of where things are supposed to be. They're just rebuilding it with brand new technology. So you would think, and I'm guessing, right? I'm not a developer, but you would think that because they have the foundation of everything already in place, it should potentially have the development time, but I don't know this. I would love to get a developer on here to maybe talk maybe more of the nuts and bolts and some of the more you know, in the weeds type conversations of how that kind of game development goes against what they did 5-10 years ago. Again, we don't know whether it's going to be a true one-to-one copy. I would hope that they stay true to the origin, you know, to the origin. They're just, and for all intents and purposes, that's what it looks like they're doing. They're literally just remaking the game with 2021, 2022 technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for those that have never experienced Dead Space, I know you could try it out right now on Xbox Game Pass. Is there part one, part two, part three? I have a mixed feelings about that game, but part two was actually pretty good. You know, I was reading, Pete, the other day that Dead Space 2 sold 4 million copies and it still was considered a failure.
Really?
Yeah. From EA point of view. Yeah. Which we've seen that before from like Tomb Raider. I know Square Enix was feeling the same way about that game. It sold a lot and it still wasn't enough, you know? So they probably spent a lot of money, you know, when it comes to like budget and marketing and everything. You know,
I can kind of understand that wherein like, I just did a quick look up here and it says that the budget for the game was like $60 million to make Dead Space 2. And it only sold 4 million copies, right? And if we're going to do the math real quick, you know, $60 times...
Well, remember, that they now get $60 all the way.
I get that, yeah. Right? But, I mean, I don't know that back-end number of how much they actually physically make, but... If we go by the $60 a copy times 4 million in sales, $240 million. So if $60 million was the budget, we will just do the math real quick.
And I got to ask Ree because she's the marketing expert here.
That's $180 million, right? That is left floating in the wind. Now, how much of that went to marketing, advertising, overhead costs for... Obviously, the employees of EA, the developers, et cetera, brand deals.
I mean, CDs and cases, because that's absolutely. Back in the days. It was
plastic,
like that,
you know, green plastic cases or blue plastic cases, the J cards that went inside them with all of the art, et cetera. That, you know, I'm sure there's an Excel spreadsheet that lines out all of this. Obviously, we won't get that. You know, we won't have that information. And then obviously, we know Dead Space 3 underperformed at retail. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just. That just goes to show that, you know, you can have a hit, but it doesn't guarantee that your next title, the titles that come after that, are going to perform as well or sell as well or just be critically acclaimed as the first one.
Well, back in days, you just spend more money on that, right, Ree? Like just marketing. But now, is it less or is it more when it comes to like, you know, budget for games like that, AAA games?
Depends on the game. Even in the AAA space, there are some that have pennies compared to others. As you can imagine, a Halo versus a Tell Me Why. Many different factors go into the budgets for those two, even though they're both technically AAA games, being from Don't Nod and from 343. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's a little bit easy to overlook is that a lot of times these goals, when the companies are saying we need this game to make X number of dollars, it's not just to cover costs, it's to set up the next wave of development. And it's an investment, right? The return on investment needs to be quite high, if, you know, over 100%. So it's challenging to think of a $4 million copy sold game is a failure, but it's probably really difficult, you know, to, again, pay all those costs that Pete was mentioning and then also set up for the next wave of development, which could take, in some cases, 10 years. And it has to carry you through. So it's really challenging.
Yeah, and now with services like the EA Play and Game Pass and PlayStation Now is long term. It's not short term, because back then it was totally different, like the way how they were marketing the game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like before, they didn't have as many, I don't want to say gotcha mechanics, but they didn't have as many ways to keep providing money to the developers for playing through that game or that experience as they do now. And I know a lot of developers are really loving being part of programs like Game Pass or EA Play, or just having in general different loot mechanics and different battle passes to sustain them through that long wave of development, because it is very costly. And obviously, in the last 2 years, it's been even more so.
Yeah. Anything else, Pete, from Dead Space, or we should go to the next topic?
No, I'm just excited. Obviously, as a fan of the game, the title in general, mm-hmm. I'm just looking forward and excited to hear more about it.
Cool. So should we go to the next topic, Pete, about the new Alien game? You want to go for that?
I'm all for that. We're gonna stay in the space horror type experience, and I'm all for it. Let's go.
All right. So what was the actual name of the game? Alien game?
Right. Fire so team? We got preview access to this new game. Just came out yesterday, actually, if I'm not mistaken. It's called Alien mm-hmm. Fireteam Elite. It's Fire available Elite. On all platforms. So you can play it on Xbox One, Xbox Series S or X, PlayStation 4 and 5, and online you can access it via Steam. It's $40 US. It's a three-player online co-op only. I guess the best way to describe it is like a Left 4 Dead style survival cover shooter, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. And so take that concept and replace the normal zombies that you would experience, and replace that with xenomorphs, from the Aliens movie series. But don't mm-hmm. use Alien, the original movie, the Ridley Scott version. Think of the movies that came afterwards, where it was, all shooter type experience, the Sigourney Weaver, like hundreds of xenomorphs coming down the platform and coming. That is probably the best way to think of this game. So we got access mm-hmm. to play it, for a few weeks after, if I'm not mistaken. And while initially it's fun because, it's the new experience, it did for me get a little repetitive, especially when playing solo. Because we're playing the preview version of it, we didn't have a real chance to get other online people to play with us. And there's two big things that kind of bugged me about the game. A, there's no crossplay. Mm-hmm. So knowing that Danny, who typically plays on Xbox or on console, he's not available to play with me because there's no crossplay. And then
I had the Steam version, though, just in case you wanted to
know. Okay, I wasn't aware. And then you should have told me that we could have played together. And then...
Well, is there cross-progression as well? Like, you can take your character...
Well, as long as you're playing on... PC? There's no cross-play, so I would assume that there's no cross-progression, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other big kicker, there's no local co-op, which in a game like that really does serve that, that experience perfectly. So like, while serviceable, the bots themselves, they're AI bots. So you know what they're going to do, right? They're just going to do the bare minimum. They're kind of like the kid in the back of the class. They're just going to do the bare minimum to slide through. So you get to choose from five different classes. There's a gunner, a demo, technician, engineer, medic, I think he's a doc or doctor, and then a recon. And then each one of them has like their own special class or perks. I think the gunner has a thing called overclock, which effectively doubles the fire rate for everybody around him, gives them stronger armor, faster reloads, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And some of the cool things about the game, because I don't want to just like nitpick on some of the bad stuff. You don't just go up against the standard, xenomorph that runs through. You get facehuggers, you go all the way up to Praetorians. So, story time. I used to read all of the Aliens books, right? All the Aliens books, all the Predator books, and then there was like a big stack of books that were that became the Aliens versus Predator, you know, book series, and then those obviously became, you know, what we saw in the movie theater and stuff. So what this game does well in terms of it sets the mood with nonstop action of xenomorphs, you know, in the horde mode style settings. Gameplay gives me a lot of TF2, Team Fortress 2 vibes, because you got a lot of similarities between the classes. You know, recon is spy, and you've got medic, etc. And you know, the demo characters, you could throw out turrets and flamethrowers, which the turrets for me were probably my favorites, and I love the flamethrowers, but for me the turrets were my favorites until their ammo runs out, and usually that's when it turns into mayhem if you're still trying to fight off the xenos until you get into the next set of the game. But like I said earlier, you know, no crossplay or any local co-op does a kind of like a disservice to this game, right? You know, they you know, being able to get that license from, I think it's Warner Brothers, you know, says a lot. And also the studio, I think, was acquired like 3 or 4 times throughout the development cycle of this game alone. So that is a lot of stress as a developer, I can imagine, to have to deal with, right? And then you're, you know, mm-hmm. the fact that they were able to carry that over throughout all these multiple acquisitions is you know, phenomenal in and of itself. And then voice acting was for me a little cheesy and over the top. Also the comms chatter from your commander up in the ship, who never joins you. It just was a little too much for me, right? It was like, let me play the game. Yeah. Stop talking to me. Like, leave me alone. But other than that, I mean, it's a fun game if you like those type of like corridor shooters. If you like, you know, survival cover shooters or survival corridor type shooters, I think you'll enjoy it. I think because it's got that lower cost of entry at $40, I think it's a little bit easier to deal with. It's a little easier to swallow as opposed to trying to pay like $60 or $70 for a large title. So, you know, if you're interested in games like this, it's definitely worth picking up.
Yeah, very, very quick, because I've been playing it too. I think this game is a lot more fun with friends. I tried single player and I just didn't enjoy it at all solo. But, you know, play with like with Pete or Paris or just other people online, I think I'll have a better experience. And the reason is, when you die, I had to depend on the bots to revive me. It was just taking so long. I just not a fan of just playing this solo at all. And like you said, Pete, it's all about multiplayer, man. Multiplayer online. Because I enjoy playing games like Left 4 Dead, you know, games like even Back 4 Blood.
Yep.
That was pretty good playing solo also, you know what I'm saying? But is it solo? No. You have to play it with friends. I can't remember. Anyways. Yeah. But Left 4 Dead, 100% solo, and had an amazing time with that game overall. But I'm disappointed there's no crossplay or cross progression. That would have been a lot better. But I'm planning to play it on Xbox once this officially is out. You know, so. But yeah, thanks to Tara and the whole team for sending us the code to play this game early. You know, it was a lot of fun. Cool. All right, so we have now Ree to talk about the new Apex Legends. She's an expert, Pete. Anything Apex related, I always ask her, like, okay, Ree, tell me the details. Tell me about the new character, the new season, everything. So, Ree, let's go for it.
Yeah, so during EA Play, which happened this past week, we got a closer look and some behind the scenes on Emergence, which is season 10 of Apex Legends, and that releases on August 3rd of this year. We'll get a gameplay reveal tomorrow, 26th. So we'll see even more very soon. But what we have now is a firsthand look at Seer. So Seer's character name is Obi. He has micro drones. That's his whole thing. He's been described as a stealth character that will offer all of the teammates more information about where the enemies are. And at first glance, Seer definitely looked like they were coming for Bloodhound's lunch, but it's definitely a little bit different when you break down all of the different abilities. So Seer's passive is when aiming down sights, He can activate a heartbeat sensor that will show him enemy locations. His tactical sends out the drones from his chest. If you've seen the trailer, you can see little micro drones coming out. And that will help track enemies. It looks similar to Bloodhound's footsteps or the birds tracking, but a little bit more precise, more detail. And then Seer's ultimate. This is the big one. It sends out hundreds of micro drones and creates this huge sphere. Not just a dome like the heat shield or like Gibraltar's tactical, but this is a huge complete sphere that can like span several levels. As you know, Apex is a very vertical game, and then also very wide. Mm-hmm. And it shows all of your teammates where enemies are specifically as they move. So when we were hearing from the EA developers, they gave us a little bit more detail. Sorry, the Respawn developers. They gave us more detail about why they chose this ultimate for Seer. And they explained that there was a desire to slow down the end game. And when people are in small areas, maybe like in an arenas map, or if you're just at the last circle or the last few circles in Battle Royale, the game moves really fast, right? There's lots of third-partying, fourth-partying, fifth-partying. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as you hear gunfire, everybody swarms. And Seer's ultimate, this dome will help, sorry, the sphere will help slow down that gameplay because all of Seer's teammates and Seer will know exactly where people are running to and from if they're moving. So if you stay still, they can't see you. It's like a Jurassic Park rules, right? But the idea is it keeps everybody a little bit more tactical when you know there's a dome around you and you will slow down. So that was the whole goal of Seer's Ultimate, which is very different from Bloodhound's Ultimate, which, you know, you go beast mode and then you can see and hear everybody and you can call it out to your teammates. But ultimately, you're running around really fast and doing a lot of aggro in Bloodhound's Ultimate. So that's where they two differ. Mm-hmm. And that'll like complement people's play styles depending on how aggressive they usually play. So lots about Seer. Really excited to try him out, especially since I'm usually a Bloodhound main, but we'll see how it goes. And what's also interesting about what we saw for Apex Emergence was this new Rampage LMG. So LMGs are incredible in Apex. If you have a Devotion, if you have a Spitfire, you're probably going to win a gunfight, right? Like, they're very OP. But this one is getting even higher level up. Like, it looks from the trailer, if you're looking at the one on, what is it, Respawn's YouTube, it's at 2 minutes and 13 seconds where you see an incendiary grenade break apart. It flips around, does a cool little spin move, and then it loads into this Rampage LMG. So the thought is you can charge this LMG with an incendiary grenade, similarly to how you can charge the Sentinel with a shield cell and increase its damage output. So this is going to power up LMGs even more. It's interesting that they mention in some of a flavor text I read somewhere that Rampart built this, and it's probably going to make Rampart even more OP. As you know, she has a passive buff with any LMGs. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the pick rate is in arenas where you can choose your starting weapons. And if you get enough currency, you can start off with a powered up Rampage LMG. That sounds pretty OP. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah,
the balancing will be a question.
You know, are you planning to use that in arenas? Because, you know, arenas and Battle Royale, yeah, it's like a totally different vibe in there. So when it comes to like weapons, so do you see yourself doing that or no?
Yeah. I mean, when we get to like the third round of arenas, if we're like, you know, 2-2 and this next one, like we're feeling like we really need to come with the pain, I always go for a Spitfire or a Devotion. So I can see me moving to the Rampage LMG for sure to just get a little bit more power and firepower, specifically with this incendiary grenade loaded into the Rampage LMG. It's looks like a very deadly combination. It'll be interesting to see how that works in mid-range fights for
now,
sure.
Now, in your opinion, having this new character, Seer, in arenas, how's that going to be?
We'll see. I mean, there's been lots of hinted balances to other characters. So all of my mains are probably going to get buffs. That's like Caustic, Fuse, Gibraltar, the big firepower people. We're probably going to see Rev or Octane nerfed because they've been overplayed lately, especially in the arenas matchups. You know, it'll be interesting to see what Seer's pick rate is over Bloodhound specifically because the characters are very similar in their kits. But it'll be interesting seeing how they do slowing down in game. We see Pathfinders, we see Revenants and Octanes like rushing a lot towards like the middle to the end of the game. And if they know there is a sphere around and that Seer can figure out where you are exactly and tell their teammates as well, we might see those go down. So I don't know if the nerfs are really going to be that drastic. And it may change mid-season because we know they're going to do some mid-season tweaks as well.
Any questions, Pete?
No, I mean, I came in with notes, but apparently I could have just thrown those right out the window. I didn't need any of those.
Well, no, you had some good notes about the map.
Some of the notes that I did take. Obviously, they're adding some more information to the MMR and the rank stuff, right? So they're going to have two versions of it, right? So you're going to have your regular rank and then an underlying MMR, which is invisible to everybody. MMR is matchmaking rank, right? So the combination of both your visible rank and your underlying MMR is actually what is going to determine your overall rank. And so like the perfect example is this is if you're a rank silver, right? And you've been consistently playing at like a much higher level, like gold or platinum, the system will go ahead and start matching you against other players with platinum level MMR. And then if you win these matches, you'll get more AP or arena points, which will make your visible rank start to catch up to what your MMR is to match what, you know, your performance is at platinum. And then conversely, if you lose those matches, you know, you'll start to lose fewer AP and your MMR will start to drop as well. And then you take that and then you start looking at, you know, I think they were already doing placements, right? So, you know, for those, if you don't understand what placements are, is you play your first 10 maps or your first 10 matches when you first jump into the game, and that establishes your initial MMR and starting rank. And then the more you play, the more your overall rank will start to settle out and start to match what your performance is. They're continuing on with the Leaver Penalty and Lost Forgiveness, which I think is a phenomenal add-on to games like this, especially when you start adding it, especially when you start talking to like esports and things like that, because it punishes players who leave early. Because there's nothing that pisses me off more when I'm in the middle of a game and I get it. I have a legend that dips after the first match, especially when you're playing in ranked. And, you know, because when you're already playing a 3-on-3, the stakes are much higher. And then you're in ranked. So things get a lot sweatier, a lot quicker. Having a player leave in the middle of a match, you know, obviously puts you at a deficit. And it's very rarely where you'll actually come up on top because you're playing a man down or a legend down. If a player does leave early, you know, they'll get a temporary matchmaking ban and they'll be unable to queue for ranked arenas until that ban is over. And then if a player leaves early and your team loses, you'll be given a loss forgiveness that'll nullify any impact that loss would have been towards your rank. And then they're adding, you know, the party restrictions, which it's the same as, and this is more so for arena, right? This is with all the stuff that they talked about. Same as ranked BR, where platinum can match with gold, but can't match with silvers. And that's just so that you don't bring in like low level legends or players and you basically boost them up and then they go off into the wild and play and they're trash and, you know, then they get upset. And then down to the maps, they announced that there's going to be three maps officially for ranked arenas. It's going to be King's Canyon Hillside, World's Edge Dome, and Olympus Oasis. And I'm curious, especially because Rihanna, you're the big fan here. Which of those three are you looking forward to playing the most?
Well, hands down, Olympus. It's my favorite map right now. It has such a good balance of long and short range engagements, and I'm just really, really excited to see how it works out with arenas when everything is a lot tighter. Because 9 times out of 10, when I'm killed in Olympus, it's a sniper, and it'll be interesting to see how that flips in the meta.
Yeah, nah, I'm excited, very excited to try this out, and I wonder what else they could do after season 10. Because man, I mean, the game is getting better and better, you know, with new legends and everything. Are we going to see a totally new map in the future, you think, Ree?
I think so. There's been some hints from the data miners, and obviously you always take that with a huge grain of salt. But there's references to a location called Tropics, which may be the big Gaia map from the Titanfall universe, which would be very, very exciting. Ooh. I still think there is room. Obviously, we had a lot of fanfare with Season 9. and Valkyrie coming as a character that maybe Titans would finally be in the game. I still think they could be on the map. We have the Marvin robots that give you loot drops. Like, why not take that a step further? And I think, Danny, this is something you even pitched before when we were talking. Like, have a Titan that everybody has to go take down, and it's like the boxing arena, right? There's different rules of engagement. You can't shoot opposite players, but maybe you can all take down this Titan and then grab the loot and run out of the area. Then you're fighting each other again. Like, I think there's lots of ways they can play around in this world, because Titanfall is incredible lore.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Are we going to continue with the show? But first, this episode is sponsored by Namecheap, who is offering all Gamertag Radio listeners an exclusive deal. Get a .live domain name today for only $4.99. .live is the perfect domain and brand name for gamers, live streamers, and esports players. Seamlessly redirect your live streams to Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, or any streaming platform. Promote your .live domain name in your bio, social posts, and live shoutouts, and in stream chats, and grow your fan base today. More and more gaming influencers are adopting the .live domain name as a streamed way for their audience to find their Twitch channel, live streams, and other platforms. You could be one of them, GTR listener. In addition, Namecheap is offering GTR listeners 30% off any non-premium domain name, including .com and other popular extensions. To access either of the deals, go to Namecheap.com and select any non-premium domain name and enter the code GTR in the promo box at checkout. Now, you're probably asking, I need to know more about Namecheap. Look, this is the world's second largest domain register and a top provider service provider for everything you need to launch an amazing website. Almost 2 million five-star reviews by verified customers on Shopper Approved. And of course, for over 20 years, Namecheap has been striving to make the internet open, accessible, and affordable for everyone. Namecheap is offering Gamertag Radio listeners a .live domain for only $1.99. The original price is $20.88, plus 30% off any non-premium domain name for its first year of registration. This offer cannot be combined with any existing sales, but can override any current sale if its discount is less than 30%. So GTR listeners, this is all you right here. To get your .live domain name for only $1.99 or enjoy 30% off any other non-premium domain, go to Namecheap.com. Search for your desired domain and use the code GTR at checkout.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I know during EA, the developers of Knockout City mentioned there's going to be like some loot that you could put into your weapons, but it's related to Knockout City. So it's like a cross promotion. They could do the same exact thing for, you know, for a game like Titanfall in the future. They're planning to like promote it, or any game, even Dead Space, Pete, right? They could add something in there to promote the game, man. You know, Mass Effect, anything. So it's possible because the game is really popular for EA. This is a really, really big game for them, you know? So yeah, at Respawn, we need a new Titanfall game. My God, I've been waiting for that, man. Titanfall 2 is the most underrated game of all time, I think, man. Story is good. Multiplayer is fantastic, you know? So, we'll see. Anything. Yeah, yeah. Anything else about Apex? Anything else?
I'm just excited to get into some ranked arenas.
Like, Pete, we got to play. Please. We got to play together. Now there's crossplay.
I'm down.
Let's do it. You want to do it after this?
We could do it. We could do it. I just got to make dinner after that, but we could definitely play after this.
Yeah, oh man, that would be amazing. All right. All right, guys, we're going to take a short break. And once we come back, I'm going to be reviewing Microsoft Flight Simulator for the Xbox Series X and S. Also, I have to mention this. Pete, I did the crazy, crazy stream yesterday.
I saw.
It was insane. It was insane. I was like, can I do this? Can I actually fly from Los Angeles to Punta Cana straight with live weather? And I did it. with the help of our community. They were giving me tips, everything. I'm going to be talking about all the cool stuff during my review. But, man, that was an experience. Long stream. 7 hours long, man. Mm-hmm. And we did it.
It was an exciting finish. Yeah,
even Reed was like, are you okay? You look excited, man. You're excited to actually stream this. I go, yeah, this is real time. This could happen. So
yeah, that was the crazy part when I woke up this morning and it was like, I got the alert. It was like, oh, you know, here's your stream. It was 7 hours long. And it was like, it was literally like an hour after I woke up. And I was just like, Danny streamed for 7 hours? What is he? Yeah. And then I saw the chat and the message, and then I was like, oh yeah, because that's the cool thing. And it actually tells you, like, okay, you're gonna fly from point A to point B, whatever the real time flight is going to be, that's how long you're gonna be playing this game. There's no like speed up in there. You actually fly the actual whole time. So good for you.
Yeah,
I'm glad you had a chance to do that.
Now I do have to mention, even though I got to Punta Cana, I didn't land correctly. Now here's why. I had a lot of people giving me tips on what to do with the controllers, the controls inside the plane, the cockpit. So it was very technical and very confusing, because I had it when I started. It was just new guy, you know, all easy, casual, everything easy. And then it started, Danny, press this button, this button, this button. You can see the weather. Oh my God. It was just too much for me. And when I landed, I couldn't slow down the plane. So it just went straight, it bounced, and it flipped, and yeah, it landed terrible. So, so watch the stream.
Definitely a good highlight.
Yeah, very good highlight. But before I go to review, one thing I do have to mention. It was awesome to see the live weather, because I know a lot of people talked about that for the whole year. If there's a storm, a tornado, hurricane, you could go through there too. And there was one part that I was flying in Texas. I had the live weather off. So in between New Mexico and Texas, when I pressed it and I pressed the live weather, dude, I was in the middle of a crazy storm. My plane was moving around like this. I'm like, oh my God. And then once I passed it, I was looking down and there was a section where there was a farm with letters that I think a farmer made that. And it said something and people were looking it up from the stream in the chat. They're like, oh, Danny, you're in this location. I found exactly where it, dude, it was really cool having that interaction with the chat. That's in the game. Yeah. All right. So we're going to play the review here and I'll be right back after this.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737 GTR.
All right, so we're back here, and now we're going to be talking about Microsoft Flight Simulator for the consoles. That's Xbox Series X and S, which you could also play cross-play with Windows 10 and Steam version. So it's been out for those versions now for a year, and it's official. If you have Xbox Game Pass, you can download this game officially there starting this Tuesday. And this game is a pretty big file. It's over 96 gigs. Now, once you download the game, there's also updates where you could download extra locations in there. And they're going to be adding more content throughout time since the release of the game. You could download other locations like Tokyo, etc. And each of those updates is like a gig or so. Just a warning, be prepared for getting a lot of big file size to your console. But overall, I had an amazing experience. I've never played Flight Simulator ever. This is my first time. And I don't have a flight stick. It was all from the Xbox controller, very easy. There is a training mode where it'll tell you how to fly, how to control your plane, and you could also put the difficulty as a new person, put it as easy, and it's very, very simple to control overall. Now, if you press the L analog stick, just press it as like a button, you do that, and it will also help you with a AI co-pilot, where it'll help you to not only fly the plane, but also reduce the speed, or have the speed even faster. Maybe the pilot will also help you to go higher altitude or just stay lower. It all depends on the situation you're in. But what I did, I tried out the Discovery flights, where you go to New York City, you go to Mount Everest, which, by the way, looks amazing. You could go to different locations. That's just to fly around and just have that experience of checking out like these iconic locations around the world. Also, what I did, which I streamed it for a couple hours. This is a long, long trip. I did a flight from Los Angeles, California, all the way to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, real time, live weather. It was the most crazy experience ever in the game. It was nuts. It was a lot of flying. We bump into a couple of storms along the way. Also, every time I will go to a location and I'll see it, there will pop up like those iconic locations or new airports that will come up on screen. The viewers that was watching the stream, they would look it up and they were like, "Danny, you're in this state." They were telling me everything was coming up. And there was also viewers that were telling me, "Danny, get ready. There's this crazy weather coming up ahead." You know, there was a pretty bad thunderstorm in between New Mexico and Texas. And yeah, my plane was all over the place during that flight. Also, I experienced that when I went to the Gulf, there was a pretty bad storm around there too. It was awesome flying, and the whole time it was daytime. And once I got to like the Caribbean area, that's when the sun was going down and it went all at night. So at the end, I landed pretty bad when I got to Punta Cana, but I got an achievement, everything. It was awesome. The whole experience was just really, really cool. And this is the thing that I like about this game is that, hey, you want to take a break from shooters, from, you know, games like that. You just want to fly. You could get together with multiple people. There was even people saying that from the chat on my stream that you could get up to like even 50 or more people just fly with you everywhere. You could start from at an airport and just fly together anywhere around the world, you know. So that was really cool. I want to start doing that with our GTR community. You know, we download this game. Doesn't matter if you have the PC, Steam, Xbox console version. We could go online and just fly around the world and just experience that. This is honestly is a must-have game. If you have any of these platforms, you definitely got to try it out. It's just awesome to just experience that. Just also be prepared. If you're planning to use live weather, you are going to get a lot of data downloaded to your console. So if you have a limit data cap anywhere around the world, I just want to warn you, just be prepared to get a lot of data to your internet. So just a warning. But yeah, you could also control the plane. Like I said earlier, you could control it from outside, like a third person view, or you go inside the cockpit and try to all the buttons there too. You could do that. My recommendation is try the training mode so you could understand more about that. Or you could do it like how I did it. I just started flying without doing the training and I learned on my own. You don't have to go that technical, but if you want, you can make that changes too, man, and just try the tutorial and it will help you out. And this one has been redesigned also to give you know, better feedback on where to improve, and also will give you a score at the end of each track. So that's pretty cool, really, really awesome. But yeah, you will learn the basics of flight, takeoff, landing. Landing is the part that I think I need to start learning more in the game. But I'm into it. I'm all in. And yeah, this is a must-have. For those that are listening, let me know your thoughts about Fly Simulator once you try it out later this week on console. I know there's people that already probably been playing this now for like a year on the PC, but man, they did an amazing job. This looks so, so cool. I also went to Las Vegas, try out to see how it looks around the area, New York City. I went to Universal Studios around the Los Angeles, Burbank area. It looks really, really awesome. Really, really cool, man. So, but yeah, guys, let me know your thoughts. Thank you for listening to my full Microsoft Flight Simulator review. And I want to thank Xbox for sending me this code. It's again, must have for those that are listening to this. You definitely got to try it out. And I hope to see you somewhere out there around the world. All right. Add me. My gamer tag is Godfrey, GODFREE. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we're going to continue the episode with Ree. We'll be right back after this.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right. So that was my review about Microsoft Flight Simulator for the Xbox Series X and S, for those that don't know. But for those that are listening, I would love to play with our community. I was asking questions during the stream, like, hey, how many people can actually go on and start flying together? They said unlimited. I think it was like 50-something they had, somebody mentioned. Doesn't really matter. So we could do cross-play. Pete, you could fly PC version. I'll do the console version. Ree, if you want to join, we could fly somewhere.
Have a race.
Yeah, we not only a race, but just fly, chat, and just go to different places, man. So
who'll
now my question I do have:
who would be the first person to bounce on the tarmac? Who would be the first person to bounce?
We'll see. Now I do have a question. I do have a question for y'all. If you have an opportunity to play this game together online, multiplayer, with not only with us but also with our community, where would you like to go around the world? If you pick one place that we all fly together, let's start off with Rihanna. Any places you would like to fly around the world?
Yeah. There's a place that I've always wanted to go. I would really love to fly around Greece.
That's a great location. Greece is beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why Greece?
I don't know. Like there's something about like the history there. I am unfortunately or fortunately Catholic, so I know there's a lot of history in Rome for me as well, but I would just really like to see sort of like the civilization and the architecture and how it's so different from what I'm used to over here in the States.
Very cool. Very cool. What about you, Pete? Any location you would like to try out?
I think there's several. First, I'd like to go through either Tokyo or Kyoto. I think it'd be phenomenal just to fly through that, just to see what it looks like. I'd like to visit Korea, South Korea. I did the trip from Miami to LA to South Korea when I was a kid. So maybe try and recreate that, but I'm not going to do like a 28-hour flight. There's no
That's
way.
A long flight.
It was literally Miami flight. To LA, LA to Hawaii, Hawaii to South Korea, and I wouldn't do that in the game. That would just take too long. And then I'd like to go to, I think I'd probably do the Zurich to Singapore to see what that would be like.
Now me, I'm just doing crazy stuff. I would like to find Area 51. I don't know if that's possible. do that. It's so random. Also, yes, Pete, I would like to go South Korea, but also I would like to travel North Korea to see how it is, to see the location.
Probably get shot down.
No, you won't. It's not that violent, the game. Also, what I did, I was flying the other night. I flew out through Havana all the way to like the south part of the island in Cuba. I did that, but it was at night, so it was really hard to see. Last night when I was flying, I passed by the Keys, the Bahamas, north part of Dominican Republic, Haiti. I passed by there too. So that was really fun flying through the Caribbean. So one thing I would like to do is fly from Puerto Rico to Bermuda just to see how it is.
Oh, go through the Bermuda Triangle, see if you actually disappear.
The Bermuda Triangle. Yeah, so I could disappear, go to the Loki timeline or something, you know, somewhere.
There might be some Easter eggs in there. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. That would be awesome, man. But yeah, I can't wait to see what people have to say of the game, like once it releases to the public for the console. You know, I think it's going to be a lot of people playing that, man. Really, really cool. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Gamertag Radio Re, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything new happening at G4? Anything new coming up?
There's some stuff happening. We'll have some big news to share in the next couple weeks. Ooh. So keep an eye out on our socials. Yeah. You'll see some stuff.
You know what was fun? Watching the D&D live. That was actually fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really cool opportunity. I'm glad we were able to do that, even though we're not officially launched yet.
Yeah.
But you expect to see more D&D from G4 for sure.
Cool. And if anybody wants to follow you, you want to mention your Twitter account or social media?
Yeah. Yeah, Twitter is definitely the best place. That's Rihanna Tweets Now, RIANA Tweets Now. Mm-hmm. And yes, I work for G4, also a frequent guest on What's Good Games when they're not on hiatus. And of course, happy to join you here at Gamertag Radio.
Yeah. And also, congratulations, Ri. New promotion. You want to mention that very quick?
Yeah. Recently promoted to Director of Brand at G4.
Yeah. So,
shiny new title and a laundry list of things to do. Yeah, very exciting.
Very proud of you. Very proud That's of awesome. You.
Thank and, you. Yeah.
Congratulations.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else, P, from your end?
No, I just want to know why your voice cracked right now.
Hey, man, I'm a teenager, man. You know, I'm getting, you know.
Benjamin Button.
Yeah, exactly. All right, one. Head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Follow us. Subscribe. Post a review. It'll help us out. Now, if you have any questions, comments, anything, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Until next time, new episode coming out later this week here only on Gamertag Radio. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.